worship His holy name. Sing like never. Sing like never before. I worship Your holy name. You know, throughout the Word of God, we are called by His Word to worship His name in many different ways. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 47, "Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great King over all the earth. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises." And there's more. And we want to be those people who worship the Lord in every way that He directs. And sometimes that does call for us to be mindful about it. These are things we ought to give ourselves to. And there are areas of worship where I know we are not temperamentally prone to go, some of us. And then there are, you know, those areas we are temperamentally prone to go. There are some shouters. We know who you are. There are some clappers, though very few in Calvary still. There are those who are prone to bow before Him. And let me simply say this. If the song calls for a manifestation of praise, let that be a guide. When it calls you to clap your hands, if you're not clapping, that's a good time to clap. You got permission there. I know it feels weird if you're not a clapper. If it calls you to bow before Him, give yourself permission to follow in what is a biblical manifestation of worship with the help that is there. Shout. It's appropriate. Sometimes we obey our way and we mindfully obey our way into what is appropriate worship that presents itself to us in times of need. You probably never thought, go ahead and be seated for a moment. I am going to preach. You may have never thought, why does the Bible of all places call God's people to clap? There's a number of reasons why we clap. And I want to say almost all of them come naturally to us. You see it in little kids. In a moment of joy and just exuberation, they can't help themselves, right? You've seen this. That's an emotion that is brought upon us from time to time in our experience with God. And the most natural thing to do in the face of God's mercies and His right now interaction with, I can't stand not to be engaged, right? There are those times when it's appropriate. Lord, you do all things well. A recognition of greatness, a recognition of God's hand. There are those times when your clapping helps those who are around you. There are those times when clapping helps you. I don't know who else in this room is like myself, but I am rhythmically impaired. This remains true even though I have led worship a healthy portion of my life. And if you've ever seen me up here doing this, it's reminding me I need to keep in step. And there's times when you're keeping yourself in step is a ministry to the people around you. And then there's this. I don't know if you've thought about this. But there is a clap. It's not an applause. It's a clap that routs the enemy. Like it's a militant marching beat, so to speak. If you have ever come across a group of Canadian geese, They are terrifying. They want to take you out. And the only way I know to get past them, if you have to go somewhere, you can go right at them. There's a time when the enemy is attacking us, so we will not be overcome. Lord, you are our mighty God. You have come up with a shout. There's all sorts of reasons why the Scripture calls us to be people who clap. Back in the day, we used to make songs out of every phrase in the Bible. Some of them were good, some of them weren't. But it's an exhortation, like the song we just concluded on. Bless the Lord. Oh, it's calling forth something that is called for. Back in the day, we sang it this way. Clap your hands, all ye people. Anybody know? Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Clap your hands. Wait, does anybody really know how that song goes? Do you know what I'm asking for? Yeah? All right, if you... Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of praise. Loved ones, would you pray this with me? Father, would you create in each of our individual lives worshipers who worship in spirit, with exuberance, and in truth, who rightly fall on our knees when we are overcome with awe of your greatness, who shout out your greatness when confronted with the fact that you are amongst us and doing great things. We pray, Lord, you'd heal our eyes by grace so that we can behold the great and wondrous things that you are doing. Lord, that you'd heal our ears by grace so we can hear the whispers of the Holy Spirit calling us to walk in a particular direction. Lord, that you would heal our mouths by grace that we may praise you and worship you full-heartedly and full-throatedly. Father, this morning we've gathered together in your name and we know you are here. You're here to touch us. You are here to speak to us. You're here to challenge us. You're here to comfort us. We are full in many ways from the blessing of yesterday. And we want to give you thanks and praise for the work that you have begun and you are going to complete. At the same time, we are still mindful of the fact that we as individuals and as a congregation, we are needy. We are needy in heart. We are needy in mind. We are needy in body. We are needy in soul. Father, we lift up to you Jerry Lynn and Lorna and Franny and Ben, all of whom are either experiencing COVID at this moment or who are by your grace coming out of it in this moment. We lift up Carolyn to you, who is still away because of chronic difficulties and currently the flu. For Barb, Lord, for Rose, and for Michael, who need you to meet them in their homes, Lord. For all those who rally alongside to help, Father, we pray that you will send grace givers and helpers, and we pray, Lord, that you will strengthen bodies, hearts, and minds. Kathy Hamp in rehab right now. Father, because of the chronic pain and the ongoing series of difficulties and the ability to stand without falling, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will give her strength in her body and you will give her equilibrium so she can stand and move from bed to kitchen table, Lord. For Joe, who is going through a new thing with serious pain in his back, Father, we pray you'd reach down from heaven with your long and your strong arm, Lord. You will touch him. And Father, the other aches and pains that we brought into this building with us, and those aches and pains that have kept some of our friends away from us this day, we pray, Lord, that you will touch and that you will heal. For Lord, you are the great physician. You are the healer. And we pray for strength in all of these areas, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, I got a couple of things that I'm going to try and run through real quick, but last week I was telling you I was going to out the trash company. Now here it is. The trash company, who we've been wrestling with, is Evergreen. And I only out them because they have ponied up. They showed up Friday, they took care of our trash, and then they did extra. So they've made things right. It's been a hassle. I've been on the phone with them. Andy's been on the phone with them. I went to their offices and sat there for a while, and we worked it out. And then they really did a good job on Friday, and they went and gathered trash that really wasn't their responsibility. So we're proudly now in a good relationship with Evergreen Trash Management. And so I'm not asking you to stop your service anymore. So real quick, here's what's up ahead. I didn't even have to pull it out of my pocket. You know, I'm the pastor of a church, a very large church, with a lot of people who contract with you. I didn't have to pull that. I didn't even have to, you know, I didn't have to pull it out or to be tempted to exaggerate. So, but Wednesday night, we are finally going to get to the Bible study, the Experiencing God study. We're really looking forward to this. The Wednesday night, 6:30, we'd ask you to come out. It's going to be the introductory one. Again, it's a little more ambitious than what we've done, but we want you to come, and we will lay it before you. Ted and Kara are going to be walking us through this. I did the study years and years ago, and it really was something. And so I can't recommend it more highly. And so there you go. That's Wednesday. Next Sunday, we got a couple of things going on. Sunday school continues at the 9 a.m. hour. Serving, loving your church, your heart, time, and your gifts. Also following next Sunday is crochet group. Come on, the crochet group lives a little... I should get that slide out again with the pictures of what they did and sent it down too, because it's really something. It's a blessing. So that's next Sunday. Saturday, March 15th, men, we're having our breakfast. There's a sign up in the foyer. Would you please sign up and kind of put to the side what you're going to bring? I'm bringing the biscuits and the gravy, everything that is not good for you. So somebody might want to bring a piece of fruit. You know, a piece of pineapple, I don't know. But we're looking forward to this. April 6th, we got potluck coming up. And there's some other things that are going to be coming up soon. All that said and done, I got to say, yesterday was something else. And I don't know if Laura's going to mention it a whole lot, but because she has her own... she has a word from God from this morning that I'm looking forward to hearing. But this room was filled with ladies worshiping the Lord, and it really did my heart good to witness it. And in my mind, I've got to say, not surprised, because I felt coming in this year that this year was going to be something, that we're going to be taking some steps forward, and I don't even know what all those are. And this felt like a step forward. It's not the last thing we're doing with this group. Calvary owns Thrive now. We're going to say it anyway. It doesn't belong to Beyond. It belongs to Calvary. But that said, I'm going to introduce to you Laura. She is part of us. She is one of us. She is a good friend to us, and she's going to bring the Word of God to us in a way that's going to touch our lives. So would you welcome Laura?
Oh, thank you. Crack me up. Oh, good morning. What a good day to be here. And for sure, yesterday was a huge blessing to me, to Debbie, and I am so grateful for those who came to be a part. I cannot begin to tell you what a gift it was to see so many beautiful faces worshiping together. And I was talking to my husband about it last night, and there's just something about when you put the Word of God out there for a group of women, and women are like, yes. There's something about it, right? We want to gather together. We were created to be relational, communal, right? We enjoy female friendships, and we want to come together around the Word of God. Second thing I want to say is, Calvary, thank you. This was a work of so many, well, obviously it was a work of God, but so many people came together. Pastor Brian and Greg and Patty on sound was just amazing. Zoltan stepping in when his family is all under the weather and coming and leading us in worship. Thank you. Thank you for that. Sue Bradley and Lori, there were so many people. I'm sure Sandy with her amazing welcome for us in the morning. I know there are people I'm forgetting. We are so blessed that Calvary opened up the doors with such an amazing welcome. So thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We're very excited because the next one's going to be on May 3rd, and we're changing things up a little bit. The QR code is out there already to register, and you are welcome to join us. We would love to have you come. All that being said, when you were talking about this year, something was stirring in my spirit too. I do believe that something is happening here that is new and fresh, and I just felt the Holy Spirit when you were sharing that. So I'm grateful. Let's pray. We're going to talk about the name of the Lord this morning. I'm excited for what He has for us. Let's just come into His presence and give Him this time. Lord, we are so grateful for what You are doing among Your people. We are so grateful for the way that You are here with us, that we get to be people who experience Your presence together in community around Your word. We are so grateful for that this morning. And so as we open up Your word and we look at Your name, Lord, we pray that our eyes would be open, our hearts would be open, our ears would be open, that anything we came in here with would be left to the side, and that our sole intention and our sole desire this morning would be to know You better, to make Your name known, and to follow after You with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. This time is Yours. Use it as You will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, this morning we are going to talk about the name of the Lord. And when I came up here this morning, Pastor Brian asked me how thirsty I was, because I have quite a few cups up here at the podium with me this morning. But we're going to talk about the name of the Lord. And I had to start out with these two coffee cups. Because if I were to come to you and say, I have two cups of coffee, which one are you probably going to choose? Now, if you don't like one of these known brands, pretend that you do. But which one are you going to choose for this illustration if I were to bring you these two cups of coffee? We're going to go with the Starbucks cup rather than the white and gray Chevron cup that we really don't know anything about. Why are we going to choose the Starbucks cup over the Chevron cup? Because it has a name that we know. Now, whether you like Starbucks or not, you know that what is coming in this cup is going to be the same every time. It is consistent. It does not change. There is something about a name, and when we're going to study God's name together today, God's name is consistent. It does not change. And this small example of cups of coffee, so often we go for the one that looks unlike the one that is consistent. But today I think we're going to see that consistency, following the name of the Lord, is always the way that we want to go. Now, every time we come together to study the Word of God, we come together, as I was praying earlier, to know Him more, to see what He's doing, to learn about us, and to see who He is. Now, if I wanted to know more about Sandy, which I do, if I wanted to know more about Sandy, I could ask Pastor Brian about Sandy. I could go on Sandy's Facebook. I could ask Kyle or Kim about Sandy, or I could ask anybody in this room about Sandy, and I could get a pretty good understanding of who Sandy is-ish from the information that I gather. But if I really want to know Sandy, who am I going to talk to? I'm going to talk to Sandy. I'm going to go to the source to find out more about the one that I want to know. And it's so interesting, because in this day, there are so many sources that want to tell us who God is, what He is all about, and what He is doing in the world. And I have to say, even from that short object lesson there about Sandy, we can go to a lot of places to find out about God and His name and who He is. But if we want to know who God is, we are going to go to the source. We're going to go to God, and that is what we are going to do today. I am thirsty. We study God's word together. We're going to start today with Psalm 9:10. It's funny, obviously it was the Lord, but I remember looking at this verse for something else and just being so struck by the power of these words. I'm so excited to share this with you this morning. Psalm 9:10, it's in your Bible app. It says, "Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. That's Psalm 9:10. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who trust in you. Now, one of the things that I love to do is I love to tear the verse up. I love to see what was written in the original language in order to get a correct understanding of what God was conveying to his people when these words were put on the page. And so we have to go back to the original Hebrew when we're looking at the Psalms, because Psalms are Old Testament. They were written in Hebrew. And I want to go through the words in this passage. And I think that we are going to see, at least I did, we are going to see something that blew my mind about the name of the Lord and how we can live according to what he says about himself. The very first word here is the word to know. Those who know your name. Now that word for know is yada. Yada means to know, but it means a deep, intimate knowledge that has to do with relationship or experience. All right, we can know a lot of things in this world. Right? We can know things that are going on. We can know things in the news. We can know things from afar. But yada doesn't mean that we just know it. It does not mean that we just know the name of the Lord. Right? Yada means that we have a relationship. We have had a personal experience with the name of the Lord. So let's start with that right there. Yada means to know through personal relationship, the name of the Lord. Now, the second word in this verse is name. Those who know the name of the Lord. Now, I can know your name. I can know your signature. But in the scriptures, the word name is not actually what you and I would think of as name. It doesn't mean Laura Pereno. The word for name in the scriptures is actually the word Shem, S-H-E-M. And listen to what the word Shem means. It means your identity, your character, your reputation, or your renown. So if we take this scripture and we pull it back a little bit, we're saying those who know your name, those who yada your shem, those who have an intimate experience with your character, with your reputation, with who you are, those who yada your Shem. It's actually reflective of the fame and the renown of the one that you are referencing. And so when we think about those who know your name, those who yada your Shem, it actually puts it in a really different perspective for us today. I don't want to just know the name of the Lord. Right? In the way that we would think of as knowing somebody's name. How many times do you meet somebody for the third or fourth time at church and you call them the wrong name, or you wish you hadn't, they had a name tag on because you're going to say it wrong? I don't want to just know somebody's name. I want to yada their shem. I want to intimately have a relationship with their character. And when I yada their shem, it changes everything. God gives us his name because he wants to yada it. He gives us his shem because he wants us to know his character, to have a personal relationship with his character. Now, what happens to those of us, the Bible says, when we yada his shem? When we actually have a personal experience with his character, what happens? The next word in this passage, those who know the name of the Lord, yada Hashem, the next word is trust. Those who know his name, trust in him. Now, this word trust is batach. And this word trust means to rely on or have confidence in. And it's a great word because if you think about the fact, these are being written right during the time when the Israelites were having a whole lot of struggle going on in their lives. And while other nations trusted in horses and chariots, God's people trusted in what? His name. They trusted in his name. They saw other nations around them holding on to horses that would break their legs, holding on to chariots that we know what happened at the Red Sea that went under the water. But what set them apart as the people of God is that they had an intimate relationship with the character of their God. And because they had an intimate relationship with the character of their God, they could stand confident when the struggle came their way. Listen, I want to be a woman who stands confident in my battle because I have an intimate personal experience with the character of my God. This takes the name of the Lord, in my understanding, to a next level, and I hope it does for you too. God is speaking to us through his name. But it does not stop there, guys, because we can yada his shem, and we can batak, we can trust the Lord. But the next passage says, those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. That word forsaken is azab, A-Z-A-B. And this is such an interesting word. It's actually a word that is based on covenant, the connection of covenant. When people were in a covenant relationship, we know the Bible is full of covenant relationship, and we know that our relationship, Scripture says, is based on the covenant that God has made with us through the blood of his Son. So we are in covenant relationship with our God. Forsaking was a word that actually was going against a covenant. And what do we know about God? He cannot go against his covenant. He cannot forsake one who is in his covenant. But guess what that word azab means? It's right there for you. It means a physical departure from, an emotional abandonment from, or spiritual neglect. I just looked at that definition and I thought, if there is not something that is going down in our world today, it is everything that is written on that slide. We are forsaken in this world by people or circumstances or whatever it might be. But how many times do we experience physical departure? People do not stay all of the time. Our world is broken because we cannot trust other people where we sometimes place our trust. And so in a world that is so used to abandoning physically, God says, if you yada my shem, you can be confident that I'm never going to leave you and I'm never going to forsake you. It's part of his covenant. Emotional abandonment. If we read the news, talk to the next generation, talk to a friend, think about ourselves. Guys, emotional abandonment happens in our world all of the time. We cancel each other. We unfriend each other. We leave people at a distance. We are emotionally pulled away from people all of the time. People don't feel connected to other people because we experience so much emotional abandonment in our world. The scripture says, if you know the name of the Lord, you can be confident because he will never emotionally abandon you. The places where you feel broken and sad, your friend might not want to enter in there, but Jesus will. The places where our hearts hurt, He will never emotionally abandon me. Honestly, I mean, I know it's true because I look at the Word of God. But by the time you get to be 56, right, you've had some relationships that have had a little struggle once in a while. Isn't it so good to know that there is one that actually is more concerned about your emotions than you are? And He will take care of you. And He will see you through the hurt. He's never going to emotionally abandon you. I teach a Bible study for girls between the ages of 20 and 30. That's a hard time in life. And these girls are looking for what's next or what their purpose might be or what God has for them. They want to know Him more. And I taught them about these words a couple of weeks ago. And when we hit emotional abandonment, this next generation feels very emotionally abandoned. And I feel like as a mom of somebody in that age, sometimes I step in to try to make sure that all of the emotions are okay, that everything's good in the house. I'm actually doing a disservice while God has put me in that place to leave it at that. I need to be saying, I'm going to tell you that I'm always going to love you and believe in you and know that God has good plans for your life, but I'm also going to tell you that sometimes I just might fail. But you've got one here, the name of the Lord, that will never leave you emotionally abandoned. That is good news for this generation and for this world today. And then spiritually neglect. Spiritually neglect. Our God, His name, will never spiritually neglect you. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 23, what? He leads us to still waters. He restores our soul. He's always after us. I am so grateful that when I yada His shem, I can stand confident that I've got a God who will never leave me or forsake me, cares about my emotional state and wants to heal me in my hurt places, and He will never spiritually neglect His child. What a good, good God we have. I'm telling you, as I was reading the scripture for the first time, I was like, all right, if this is what your name is all about, I need to hear some more. But there is one more word in this passage, those who seek Him. Guys, the blessing of seeking the Lord is beyond what we can imagine, right? It actually means seek is a word that's darash. It means to desire His will and guidance, aligning our lives with His principles. That's pretty big too. If we're really wanting to know His name, that's what we're going to do. We are going to align our life with His principles as we desire His will. So just as we start off today, this is a really good place to be. We've got a God that has a name that is so powerful that I can stand confident today knowing that God has got it. If we were to read this verse all the way through with all of these words, I just love this so much, right? It says, those who know your name, those who yada your shem, they barak in you. For you, Lord, have never azab those who derock you. Such a beautiful, beautiful description of God's name. Now, it's interesting because if you have a hard time trusting God, as I was going through this, I thought, those who know your name trust in you. Those who know your reputation, they're going to stand confident in you. I thought to myself, if you have a hard time trusting God, if I have a hard time trusting God in a particular area of my life, I have to say, those who know your name trust in you. If I'm not trusting in God, then what could be true about my story right now? There might be something about His name that I do not yet know. Something about His name that I do not yet have a personal experience with. You know, the scriptures are written in progressive revelation. That means in Genesis, God comes out and He tells us something about Himself. And then all the way to Revelation, He continues to reveal more to us about Himself. I want to know it all. I want to know it all today. But God has given us the gift of, it's a gift, progressive revelation. We're going to look at a few of God's names that are revealed. But I think the grace to us today, if there is a place where you are not trusting God because you are not having that experience with His name, The grace to us is, I feel like our walk with Jesus is also a progressive revelation. Every day when we wake up and we move into the next thing, we are given a new opportunity to know more about Him. So as we go through this, if you feel like there's a place that you are not trusting God, listen, God's given us grace. Just like Scripture reveals truth to us, God is revealing to us too as we walk in relationship with Him. I'm going to run through these very quickly, and then we're going to sit on the last one here. But this is how God revealed Himself in the Old Testament. And listen, I'm going to try to really emphasize a key word, see if you hear it as we go through. Genesis 1, there is a lot of chaos going on when Elohim, the Creator God, steps in and separates the light from the darkness and the water from the dry ground. Do you know that every time you see a body of water in Scripture, it means chaos, right? In the Hebrew, it always stands for something that is not going right. And so when the Spirit of God was hovering over the water, it means that the Spirit of God was hovering over the chaos that was going on in the story. And God steps in to separate chaos and peace, right? And He calls Himself Elohim. I am the Creator. I am the Majestic One. That's the first place we see God reveal His name to us. The second one we see in Genesis 14 is El Elyon. And this means the Most High God. Now this one comes along in Abraham's story. Abraham has a nephew named Lot that we've all heard about. Lot gets kidnapped during a siege on his city, and Abraham has decided it's his job to go rescue Lot from the other king. And so there is something going on that does not sound very peaceful, right? There's a lot of chaos, there's a lot of struggle, there's a lot of stress going on, and Abraham steps in and he rescues Lot from the enemy, and he praises El Elyon, the Most High God. There was a struggle, and God introduces Himself with another name. But it doesn't stop there, because in Genesis 15, God is introducing the covenant to Abraham. And Abraham knows that there is going to be this child of promise that he has not yet seen. And he's wondering why God has not yet fulfilled the promise to him. There is a struggle, and he's wondering why has this not come to be yet. And God steps in. And He says, now I'm going to introduce you, me, to you as Adonai. I am the master over it all. In the place of your lack, where you haven't seen promise fulfilled yet, I am the master of it all. Do you see what's going on here? Do you see progressively, as we walk through the Scriptures, people are having a struggle? And God steps in and says, what? Let me tell you my name. Let me tell you who I am. Because someday a man named David is going to pen a scripture that's going to say, if you have a personal relationship with my Shem, you're going to be able to stand. Well, it continues in Genesis 16. You know the story about Hagar, right? Abraham goes ahead and has a child on his own with Hagar, the slave woman. And what happens? Sarah sends her away. And there's Hagar, lost and alone. And God introduces Himself to Hagar as El Roy, the God who sees. There was a struggle. A woman felt unseen. And what happens? God says, I want you to know my character. I want you to know my name. It keeps going in Genesis 17. It's just a big story, but Abraham is actually standing in the promised land, and he's dug a well for his people. Another king comes to take the well. Abraham gets the well back, and he recognizes, along with Melchizedek, they recognize together El Shaddai, the Almighty God. And then we continue on to Genesis 21, and it just continues on and on. Another struggle. The everlasting God steps in. Guys, every single time there's a struggle in the Word of God, God steps in and He says, here's my Shem. This is who I am. And He invites us into personal relationship with His name. This to me, this is the stuff I honestly fall asleep thinking about. and wake up in the morning thinking about. We have got a God that loves us so much that every time we have a struggle, he's like, he doesn't come after us or condemn us. I feel like he actually says, there's just something else you need to know. So come closer, because in the middle of this, I want to tell you something about me. I know so many of us in this room, we're in big struggles. And in those big struggles, if we listen and we seek, he is going to reveal the part about him that we need to know in the places where we have lack. Isn't that good? Isn't God good? All right, this takes us to, do you also recognize, I thought this was interesting just this morning as I was reviewing my notes. Every single one of them, except Genesis 1, was told to Abraham. Abraham must have had a lot of struggle. And I know people did live a long time back then. But Abraham, man, God kept introducing himself to him. Now we're going to step into Exodus 3 if you're looking in your notes. And this is just amazing because we're going to meet Moses now in this part of the story. God's got another name to reveal, and he's going to reveal his name to Moses. Exodus 3 in your notes, it says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why this bush does not burn up. Now, we all know this story. It is just this week, or when I was actually looking at this a couple weeks ago, that it really hit me. Moses was a shepherd who lived in the wilderness, a dry place, right? Bushes caught on fire in the wilderness all of the time. Fires went down in the wilderness. We've seen forest fires. We've seen fires in our country. Bushes in the wilderness caught on fire. A burning bush is not what caught Moses' attention. What caught Moses' attention was that the bush that was on fire was not consumed. And so he went over to see this strange thing. Why would a bush that is on fire not be consumed? And as he walked closer to the bush, he heard the voice of the Lord. To me, that is such an encouragement, because I was thinking about the fact that, like, there are a lot of times that my life feels like things are on fire, things aren't going right. And that is not uncommon, right? We all have fires that we need to put out, things going on in our lives. But guys, listen, what sets us apart is that we are bushes on fire, possibly, that don't have to be consumed. And when we stand as a bush on fire and we are not consumed, what's happening in the bush? God is speaking in the bush. And so here's Moses. He sees this bush. It's on fire. It's not being consumed. The voice of God is coming out of the bush, and he's going to hear what's going on. And basically, God is going to say, there is a struggle going on. And let's go to verse 4. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called out to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And God said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And talk about emotional abandonment. Listen to what God says to Moses. Then he said, I am the God of your father. And then he goes on, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God always introduced himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How kind was it of God to say to Moses, who had been far away from God for such a long time, I know your dad. Your dad knew me. bringing Moses in on a personal relationship. Listen, God's going to meet you where you are, and he's going to speak things that will be something that will draw you in. Not this high-level thing that you might not understand, but he will bring you in. And so God says, your dad knew me. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then he says, there's a struggle, verse 7. Listen to these words. I know I've said this before, like my favorite thing to read in the Bible is the verbs. But verse 7, the Lord says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I have heard them crying out because they're slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of Israel has reached me, and I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people home. When we are in a struggle and God is getting ready to reveal his name to us, a place where we're not necessarily trusting, look at the verbs here. I have seen where you are. I have heard your cry. I am concerned with what is going on in your story. And I have come down for you in order to raise you up to where you need to be. And so Moses is hearing from God, this God that he has not even talked to in 40 years, that he has seen, that he has heard, that God is concerned with him. And God didn't just come to bring him out. God came to bring him in. And so all of these things are coming together for Moses. And Moses is hearing all of these words. And God says, and there's one more thing I'm going to do. I am sending you to go do the job. And I love this because I have said this 10,000 times. You have too. Who am I to do the thing that you've called me to do? Who am I to do it? You, God, just said, you see, you hear, you care, you are coming down, you are taking up. Why would you bring me into this story at the scariest part? Why would I come into this story at all? And God, I love this. I love this. He says, Moses, I am going to give you a sign. We are going to be okay. And so we continue to read. Moses says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God says, first of all, I will be with you. We love that. And this is the sign to you that I have sent to you. When this is all done, you're going to come right back here and you're going to worship me. Now, that sounds really good. And I'm like, that is a great sign. Yeah, we're going to go back to Sinai. But really, if I ask for a sign and the Lord says, I'll give you a sign when it's over, I do have to say, that does not sit exactly right with me in the moment of my great stress and struggle. But God doesn't leave it there. He doesn't leave it there. He doesn't say, listen, when it's all over, we'll talk about it, and you'll see, you'll go back to this mountain, you'll worship, and you're like, but this is what we do. We'll say, wow, God, you really did say that. You really did say that. You really did get me through. But God's like, no, we're not going to just talk about it now. We're going to talk about it later. Right now, it's not about you. I want to tell you about me. And so he continues on, and Moses says to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? Guess what that word for name is? It's Shem. There's a challenge, and Moses says, what if they want to know your name? Moses isn't asking the people, and this is not what we're doing either when we go into our challenge. God, I just want to know your name. Like, I just want to know your name. Talking to me, is your name Laura Perino, or do you want to know something about me, right? He says to God, what if they want to know your name? What if they want to know your Shem? What if they want to know your character? What do I tell them if they need to know, if they can trust you? He is not looking for God just to give him a word. He is saying, these people are going into a challenge. What do I tell them that is going to make them confident that you are going to come through where you say you're going to come through, that your reputation is the same, that you do not change, that you are from everlasting to everlasting? What am I supposed to tell them? These people don't just want to know a word. They want to know that you will do what you say. And that is where we are too when we are going through our struggles. Listen, we can open up our Bible and we can be like, I'm just going to read here because everybody else is reading here. Or we can say, God, I need to know who you are in this struggle. I am opening up the word and I'm going to read here and I need to know what you're going to say from here to here. Because I've got to get through this and I'm not going to get through this if I don't know you. And so in that struggle, God comes in and he's like, I'm going to tell them my name. And he says, God says to Moses, I am who, we all know this, I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. That word I am covers it all. You know, it's a word, a phrase that actually means like to be. To self-exist, to not be dependent on anyone else. Have you ever had this experience? Kind of like me, last week, I had the flu. I was really not feeling good. And so what do you do, right? You call the doctor and you're like, doctor's office. And you say, hi, my name's Laura Pereno and I've got a fever and I've had a cough like for 3 days and I can't get out of the bed and I'm just really not feeling good and I've got all these symptoms and I was just wondering, is there something that you can give me to help me with these symptoms? And the voice on the other line says, this is the answering service. I'm going to have to talk to the doctor and I'll get back to you. That's not the kind of God we have. Our God doesn't have to go to someone else in order to answer or resolve the problem for us. We don't have to make 2 phone calls or 3 phone calls in order to know who our God is and that he's going to come through. God says, I am. When you call, I am. When you have a struggle, I am. He doesn't have to check with anybody else. That is the kind of God, praise God, that we have. And so when we go back to that very first verse, when I have an intimate relationship that's experiential with that kind of character, yes, that is the God that I want to serve and be in relationship with. That's why I can be confident. I will never be able to call the doctor with confidence, thinking that I'm talking to the doctor, because I don't know who I'm talking to. But when I actually go to the one who can take care of it all. That I am who I am actually is very cool too, because I am, the first one is actually in the past and present tense, and the last one is in the future tense, which of course makes us very grateful because we know that God has been in the past. He is today. But aren't you grateful that he will be tomorrow as well? His Shem does not change, and what you are going through in your story can be resolved and you can stand confident because the I am is yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. That is the God that we know. What a gift that we get to experience this. What a gift that he invites us close. He will never leave us, never forsake us. It's also, you know, we can say it like something is, right? Something is. I am. But that phrase I am doesn't just mean, I mean, it's so big. It doesn't just mean that he is. And it doesn't just mean that he is self-sustaining. It also is a word that shows that he is actively involved in the story of the world. That he is an active presence. We can be, or we can be actively involved, right? I can be a wife, or I can be actively involved as a wife, portraying and living out the role that I'm called to live. God doesn't just exist. God exists and is fully present. That is a game changer. When we are waiting on God to do something in our story or bring something about, when we're crying out for revival, he exists and he is present. And because of that, we can stand confident in him. So as the story goes, he says, tell them my name. And he says, because this is not going to be an easy journey. This is going to take a little while for us to get through this. Little do these people know, right, that they're going to be in the wilderness for 40 years. They do not know. Sometimes I'm very glad I do not know how long things are going to be that I'm praying for or believing for. But God's like, you need to tell them that I'm yesterday, today, and I will be tomorrow. Because really soon after we have this conversation, Moses, they're going to get to the Red Sea, and there's going to be this crazy, impossible situation in front of them, and the enemy is going to be coming up behind them, and they are going to feel trapped, and they are going to feel desperate, and they are going to be tempted not to trust my name anymore. And I was just reflecting on that too, because I thought, you know what? In the stories of life that we're in, so many times we're in impossible situations. And don't you know the enemy is right there saying you're never going to make it through that sea. You're not going to get to the thing that God has for you. Your child is never going to come back to Jesus. All of these things are going on, right? And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the name of the Lord is greater than all of these things? And he's saying, learn it now. I think that's a great word for today. Learn it now. Recognize how all-powerful he is and omniscient and omnipresent and his name, because you're going to come up on a Red Sea at some point in the future. We don't want to learn it on the other side. We want to actually learn it before we get to it so we can cross through it into the place that God has for us to go. Woo! He continues by saying, this is a good thing too. This is my name forever. My character and reputation, my name's never going to change. And you'll call me this from generation to generation. I love that too, right? Because I'm a grandmom, and I know we got a lot of grandparents in this room. I am a grandmom. I love my grandbaby with every single thing that I have. I love that child. And I am so thankful that the same God who has been faithful to me for 56 years and is now faithful to her mom will be the same God that that little 4.5-year-old girl who's going to grow up and have some challenges and Red Seas in her life. You know what? I believe, I don't know. God might say someday to Lily, I know your mom. I told her about my name. Let me invite you now. Because I am who I am, and I am who I am. Guys, we can be so confident, even in future generations, with the name of the Lord. I can stand confident that someday when I am in glory, if the Lord tarries and Lily's growing up or whatever that looks like, God's got her. I can stand confident. I don't have to worry or fear. Do you know, listen, this is just like a side note, every single thing in the Word of God speaks to every single part of our lives. Don't you just feel it? It is like God's Word just speaks to every single part of our lives. I love it. This is why I just can't get out of it. Exodus 4, this is what happens, right? All of this goes down. God goes, Moses goes and he tells the Israelites, Yahweh, another name of God, the God of your fathers. Love that. He brings it right down personally to them too. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has sent me to you. And then in Exodus 4, Moses actually does what he's called to do. He actually does the thing. He steps in order to go and deliver the people. And this is so exciting because when he speaks the truth about the name of God, the people hear God's reputation, understand his character, and what do? The Bible says they bowed down in worship. That was their response. It was almost like, we know that we've got this really hard thing going up, but we just heard that's who's coming along. Yeah, we're going to be okay. We're just going to stay in worship, confident that God is going to do what he is called to do. As we wrap this up, I just want to, you know, we can't help but look at what the Bible says in the Old Testament and wrap it up with the New Testament. Everything that happens in the Old Testament, right, Jesus fulfills in the New Testament. And so we're in Exodus. Listen, there are many, many more names of God that we're not going to get into today. But it's really interesting because in the wilderness, God introduces himself as Jehovah Rapha. And in the wilderness, God introduces himself as Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. My healer and my banner come out in the wilderness. But as the story goes, right, throughout, we know there's exile. We know there are 400 years of silence. But what happens in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21? God is ready to reveal another name. And it says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, this is written originally in the Greek, not the Hebrew, because we're in the New Testament now. But the word for name here is onama, O-N-A-M-A. It is the Greek equivalent to Shem. And so when here Mary gets this announcement that there's going to be the baby, the Messiah is coming, let's also remember Israel is in a big struggle now, being taken over by Rome. Life is not easy for the people of God. And God's like, I'm going to reveal another part of my name. He comes in and he's like, I'm going to give him the Shem Jesus. I am going to give him the character, the reputation, all that comes along with Shem. Jesus means Yahweh is salvation. That is going to be his character, his reputation. And what does it mean? Because he will save his people from their sins. Yahweh is salvation. Jesus is the next revelation. Jesus steps in John 8. You all know this story, when the Jewish people are all wanting to know who he is, and they're chasing after him and trying to trip him up and get him to say things they think he shouldn't say. And they finally say, who are you? And Jesus says to them in John chapter 8, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. He uses the very name of God that God called himself back at the burning bush in Exodus. Every Jewish individual at this time knew that their God's Shem was I am. Not just his word name, but his character, his reputation, who he was. And Jesus steps in, and what does he say? I am. I have the same Shem, character, reputation, identity as the one that you have been worshiping. In fact, we are one and the same. And what is the response, guys? At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple crowds. You know, it doesn't matter what the world says. The world can try to stone Jesus. The world can crucify Jesus. It is not going to stop the name of the Lord. His Shem will go on and on and on. In fact, there's one more slide, and it's where we're going to end today. Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11. Therefore, God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave him, guess what? The Shem. The Shem, right? It's in Greek, but we're going to go to the Hebrew. The Shem of Jesus, the name that is above every other name. That at the Shem of Jesus, that at the character of Jesus, that at the reputation of Jesus, at the identity of Jesus, who he is. What's going to happen? Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. At his Shem, at who he is. And so just as we get ready to close, Dalton, if you want to come up and we can get ready to sing. Just as we get ready to close, here we've got this place in the story where every knee is going to bow before the Shem of Jesus. And the final question I just want to ask you, if we're going to go back to the slide for Psalm 9, 1 to 10. I mean 9 to 10. And it just says, those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Those who yada your shem batach in you, for you, Lord, have never azab those who darach you. Can I just ask you a question before we sing? Is there a place that you're not trusting God in today? And I can be right there, raise my hand too. There are challenges that come our way, and we can say, I'm trusting God, because that we want to trust God, and we do lay it down. But sometimes there's that little thing in the back of our minds, something might be going on in our story that we can't figure out how the details are going to work. And we're wondering about what God might do in this place in our lives. I read this story and say, if I want to be someone who really trusts God in the place where I am, then my first goal needs to be to yada his shem. So if there is a place today as we're singing that you feel like you aren't having that experiential, relational understanding and knowledge of Jesus, his character, his shem, you know, we'd love to pray with you. If there's something you're trusting God for, you don't feel confident and reliant, man, you have been holding on to the horses and the chariots, and you have not been able to trust the shem of the Lord, we can pray with you. Or if there is, this is kind of exciting, actually. If there is some place that you're walking that feels really hard, I think it's also very appropriate to say, God, there must be something else about you that I need to know in a new way. And just ask the Father. You know, back to Liliana. If she were to come and say to me, I mean, she doesn't know what I do. I tell her all the time, you know, well, I'm a mom, and I like to tell people about Jesus, right? There's other things about me she doesn't know yet. The older she gets, she's going to learn more. I love that about God. There's so much more to know. So maybe if there's a lack in your life, it's because he wants to fill it up with his shem that you don't know yet, because we haven't gotten there. So as we sing, let's just really worship the Lord. Ask him to point out those places where we need to know his name more. And if you would like to come down and pray, we are here for you. We love you. We thank you so much for being here. And really, God is not done, right? There's always another level of learning and understanding as we go.